CBSi on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Within days, the State of the Union message by President Joe Biden. It is comfortable to hear the president after president, it doesn't particularly matter the party or the direction, say the State of the Union is strong and there's a big cheer. Dan Henniger is here. He is the columnist for The Wonderland, deputy editor of the editorial page of The Wall Street Journal. And he's here to remind us that the union is strong because Washington likes it this way. Dan, a very good evening to you. The AKA the swamp. It is Washington, D.C. and all of the attendant agencies, because there's a lot of the government that's across the country in various agencies in other states. But in any event, we celebrate the D.C. area. When the president next week says the State of the Union is strong, is he talking about the state of the federal government? Because that would be a very accurate statement. Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Yeah, he is most certainly talking about the state of the federal government. And in Joe Biden's world, Washington, D.C., that basically means one simple thing: spend trillions of dollars. I mean, the president, the day the jobs report came out, the 12,000 new jobs, the president was bragging that people didn't think his economic plan would work, but here it is working. And, you know, it reminds me that Mr. Biden, for the past year or so, has insisted in talk after talk that his policies were fighting inflation. Now, some of us think the Federal Reserve was responsible for bringing inflation down. They do that by raising interest rates. The president argues that he's helping with inflation by transferring, through these multi-trillion dollar spending bills, money into people's pockets for healthcare, food, and the rest of it. And because of these transfer payments, supposedly the federal government is basically paying for people's inflation costs. That's his idea of the government helping people. Well, what we seem to have learned here in the last couple of years is that in the mind of Mr. Biden, there is no horizon. There is no ceiling on the amount of spending that he is willing to do to produce good. He and the Republicans, specifically House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, are now engaged in what they presume to call negotiations over whether to raise the debt ceiling, now at about $32 trillion. The president, as his spokesperson has said, this is not negotiable. We simply have to wave it forward. And, you know, John, I think we have reached the point, and I know the president in that State of the Union will brag about all of this spending and all the good it has done. I am convinced, however, that the American people are increasingly discomfited and unsettled by the amount of spending that is going on. I mean, most people realize money doesn't grow on trees. It's their money, and it's also their debt, and it's debt that's going to be handed on to their children and their grandchildren. So I think there's an opening for the Republicans, especially in their response to the president Tuesday night, to raise the question of whether this can just go on forever and whether indeed endless bounty, benevolence, and goodness is in fact the product of all this trillions upon trillions of dollars of spending from Washington.
You point to an example in the Wall Street Journal within days past. EPA's $100 billion climate aid windfall spurs turmoil. Community groups criticize red tape while conservatives ask if spending priorities are misplaced. And then there's a wonderful leafy picture of the EPA building, which is, I describe it as neo-classical. In any event, that is the building that's going to spend $100 billion. Where, Dan? Who wins this game?
Well, supposedly, the Democrats' constituency out there. I mean, I call it a swamp tributary system of nonprofits, community groups, local officials. That $102 billion, which the EPA is supposed to distribute, and incidentally, that's 10 times the EPA's annual budget, 10 times. But the Democrats passed the bill. It's supposed to be earmarked for things like various forms of environmental justice, low carbon labeling on construction materials and something called corporate greenhouse gas reporting. Well, it turns out the rules for distributing that $102 billion are so opaque and so arcane that the community groups themselves are complaining, we have no idea how we are supposed to access any of this money. I mean, it is the ultimate reduction to absurdity of federal spending. Output over $100 billion, and then no one has any clue over how it's supposed to be accessed or spent. It's just amazing.
$27 billion for the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. What is that, Dan? I thought that was beyond our understanding to reduce greenhouse gases. We can reduce what we put out, but we're going to reduce them. I'm puzzled.
That's an intriguing point. Basically, we're talking about a requirement in this legislation to force companies to report their greenhouse gas emissions. And we're not talking about just Exxon and Chevron and BP. All companies have to somehow come up with this undefinable metric of what they are contributing to greenhouse gas emissions. They have reached the point, the Democrats, especially in the area of climate, where they have run out of anything resembling a sensible idea, policy, or proposal. And so they're coming up with stuff like this. And if one is cynical, and I am cynical about this, you have to believe that it is basically about getting these tens of billions of dollars out to their constituent groups, out indeed to those community groups, to those nonprofits, those NGOs that exist to administer this stuff, to spin the wheels of the Democratic Party. And I think they've kind of reached an ending point where it is manifestly impressing a lot of the American electorate as a pointless waste of money at a time when most Americans are out there are indeed struggling with inflation, the higher cost of things like eggs. I mean, how people are saying they can't afford to pay eggs because they've gotten so expensive. And yet the federal government is able to pump $27 billion towards something like reporting greenhouse gas emissions. What's wrong with this picture?
Is this real, Dan? It's in your column, Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. That sounds like a science fiction story. Is that a real committee?
That is a real committee that is being headed up by Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. And indeed, he and his fellow Republicans in the House are going to examine how the FBI and the intelligence committees were turned on private citizens like Carter Page, who was a functionary in the Trump campaign, who we recall was pulled through the FISA intelligence courts basically in a way that District Judge Collier denounced the FBI for having so few facts to justify investigating Mr. Page. And Jim Jordan has indeed heading up a committee on the weaponization of the federal government against its own people. So I think we really are at kind of a break point, John, with whatever you want to call it, the swamp, the establishment, the groups inside the Beltway. They do not think they're accountable, whether they're accountable for spending the people's money or accountable for using such extraordinary powers as the Justice Department and FBI have. And I think we may just be reaching a point where that is about to change. That is about to be challenged.
A preview of the State of the Union. The State of the Union is strong, Joe Biden will say. Good for him. Dan Haniger, writing his column Wonderland, entitled The Democrats Deepen the Washington Swamp. I'm John Mack.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,